We have some special guests. We have some special guests with us today. You'll notice in your bulletin, on your connection card, we put it out in our email that we have a couple folks here from REST, which is Regional Emergency Shelter Team, and they came. It was about a year ago, I suppose, you guys were with us, about this time of year. And I don't want to steal any of their thunder with what they're going to say. But I'm just so very excited about this ministry and this program, and I'm so grateful that now that we have a place of our own that we can call home, and we have opportunities to just be a part of these kinds of things that are happening in our community, and I'm excited about the part that we're going to be able to play in this ministry. But I'll let them talk, and then I'll say a little bit more. So let's give a very, very warm Adventure welcome to Tammy and Lisa. You guys come on up. Welcome to Adventure Church. God bless you guys so much. We're so glad that you're here.
Thank you.
There you go. God bless you, Lisa. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. And as Greg introduces, I'm Tammy, and this is Lisa, and we are representatives of the REST program. And I've been with this is my fifth season, and Lisa's as well. It's an opportunity to serve in our community with our homeless candidates. I saw a statement this past week that just touched me to my core, and it was grateful for any kindness. And it was from a homeless young man, and I heard that if anyone ever stops and makes you look twice or stop in your tracks, that you owe them a dollar. And I just really felt compelled to turn my car around and give them what I had in my wallet. They just emoted such peace, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's why I serve the REST program, to be able to touch lives, make a difference with our homeless. 15% choose to be homeless, 85% because of situations, a promise of a job that doesn't deliver, or living paycheck to paycheck and the job ends, no place to go. Domestic violence, abuse, children on the street, that's no place for children to be raised. That's part of why I am with REST, to make a difference. No judgments, love on them. It equals the emergency shelter system. So what that equals is 12 churches that participate with us over the course of November of this year through to April 2016. Each church for 1 week offers their house, their home. We honor their protocol, their procedures. We make sure the church is honored. We make sure our guests are honored. And notice I call them guests. We want them to feel welcomed, loved, valued. That's exactly what the REST program offers. So what we offer to us, well, to our community through you, intake, and this begins the process with the REST. So there are four positions I'm speaking of intake. The candidates come to Hands of Hope on Spiva Avenue. You're there greeting them, beginning at 5:15, welcoming them, getting them ready for their night's journey. From that moment, we transport them to the churches that are offering their building. The churches offer the food, then also the place. I said that part. Forgive me, rambling. All right. Trying to make this brief. It's never my show. All right. So that's intake. You also have a portion to serve as transition. You are actually at the church welcoming the guests beginning at 5:30. You're with the guests preparing the cots, getting them settled, enjoying a meal with them, and then getting them ready for their preparation for the night. That role ends at 11 p.m. At 11 p.m., we have a paid supervisor that comes in and stays with the guests from 11 through till 6 and 7 a.m. Church vans come back. Well, vans come back to the church, pick up the guests, take them back to Hands of Hope. So now I'll let Lisa offer the remainder of the two roles.
Can I just say, wow, what great worship and what an awesome church. I'm going to digress for a second. That was so emotional just before coming up here to speak. So apologize if there's tears on my face, but thank you for bringing us to the throne of Jesus and for having us at your church, where I really feel I'm along believers who just want to love the Lord and serve the Lord. So thank you. Amen. Morning Portal. Morning Portal, I did Morning Portal for a whole season, and God really has a sense of humor because I am not a morning person. But Morning Portal is, it starts at about 6:30. And we say about on these times. They're not set in stone unless you're the team leader. They are. If you're volunteering, if you have some place you need to go, if you need to leave for work, if you need to come late because you're getting off your shift. There's flexibility there. But basically, it's 6:30 in the morning until about 8:30. And we receive the guests. We welcome them back to Hands of Hope on Spiva Avenue in Yuba City. Greet them, help them get settled. We set out breakfast for them, coffee, etc. We have people in the towel room handing out towels so the guests can shower. We also, at times, are laundering their overnight bags, their bed rolls, sleeping bags. And then we clean and leave Hands of Hope. We always try to leave it better than it was when we received it. And then we go for the day. Am I forgetting something? Drivers. We have drivers that transport. We have two vans. One is Larry Gukey allows us to use. And so we have drivers for at intake that transport the guests to the church that is hosting that night. And then in the morning, early morning people, guests are drivers that pick up the guests at the host church and bring them back to Hands of Hope at Spiva. And so with the two vans, depending on how many guests we have that night, sometimes it can take four or five trips. And that's pretty much it for what we have. I just wanted to share just briefly why I joined REST. I just want to be where Jesus is. I want to follow his commands. I want to be around people who love him, and I want to share his love with others. And so that's why I joined. And I'm telling you, this is a smooth running ship. They have it down. Everything's scheduled. I never felt left alone. The biggest blessing was fellowshipping with the guests, and you can speak truth and love into their life and really kind of help them in a time that's really difficult for them. So that's why I do it. And I've met such awesome people, and I get to come to really awesome churches and worship with you. And so we just will be in the back table. Your church is hosting this season. I'm super excited. Your church is hosting a whole week. I can't wait to come here for a transition and hang out with the guests in your church. Thank you for that. Your church is also hosting training this Thursday at 6:30. Training goes about an hour and a half, so probably maybe less. It just depends. 8:15, probably the very, very latest. And so the training is you come once and that's it. If you stay for 5 years, you don't have to go through training again. So come see us at the back if you want more information. We can talk to you about what it takes. We do a live scan, so we have information on that if you're interested as well. And we just want to thank you, Adventure Church. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for having us and for coming alongside of us in this ministry and joining. It's really exciting. So Amen. Thank you.
All right. Hey, let's thank him again, you guys. Thank you guys so very much. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. So so as they said, so that we're hosting the training this coming Thursday night. And so this is joining along with the other volunteers that are a part of what's happening. So it's not just like, like Adventure Church, like it's all on us. No, if you're here and you're interested in helping be a part of, you know, their program and their ministry, please let me encourage you to meet with them after the service and also come to that training on Thursday. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be a stretch for us. It's a little bit of a leap for us, but that's kind of how we roll around here, right? If it was easy, everybody would do it. So why do these paths? So I know Dave and Val Lowen, and I know a lot of people that are involved with REST. And as they were, you know, talking to me and communicating about the various needs and stuff, and they said, we still have, you know, one open week. You know, would Adventure be willing to host one just for 1 week? We've got every week during the whole season covered, but there's 1 week we don't, and the week is the week of Christmas, the Christmas week. And I thought, man, wow, like the very first time we're going to do it is like during like arguably one of the busiest times of the year. And then I thought, you know what? That's exactly the time we need to do it. That's exactly the time we need to open up our doors. Amen? Amen? So they're going to be using Adventure Village primarily. That's where they're going to kind of set up shop during that week. And how cool is it going to be when we have Christmas Eve service, and we're going to have some very special guests with us, Christmas Eve service. It's going to be our REST guests coming and being a part of our Christmas Eve service. So I'm super stoked about it. We need some help, and they need some help. And so if you're interested in being a part of what's going to be happening, not just the week that we're here, but the other opportunities, and so many churches are a part of this, and I'm just proud, I'll just say it. I'm just proud to be a part of a community that has this as a passion.
to do what we can. Can't do everything, but we can do what God calls us to do, and God has asked us to do this, and we're looking forward and excited. So make sure you meet Tammy and Lisa. Indicate on your card, so there's a place on your connection card, you have interest in being a REST volunteer. You can check that box, and we can make sure that you get, you know, further information, and we just want to just keep you in a place that God can use. That's what it's about. And so I'm excited about that. So, okay, before we dive in the message, something special happening next week, next Sunday, that we do not want you to miss. Next Sunday, November the 1st. So check this out.
This is the story of Henry Lovegood. That's not him. This is Henry. Henry lived a simple life. But simple as he was, so did he live in discipline, upright character, and profound cleanliness. On this day, a Sunday like any other, Henry would make one fatal mistake. It wasn't in the way he meticulously prepared his breakfast. It wasn't in the way he meticulously ate his piggy toes. But rather, it was in the way he prepared himself, his very soul, for that one fateful Sunday. Oblivious to what awaited him, Henry left his home, never to return the same. For you see, Henry had set his own trap. He rang his own bell. And now the bell tolled for him.
Robbie Farley, you got left behind too.
All right, so awesome, I love that. Oh, good stuff. So next Sunday, don't forget to set your clocks back. So you don't get left behind, okay? So daylight savings time ends. So on top of all the other craziness with, like, two services, like, it's our third week. So we finally, like, okay, kind of feel like, and then we're going to mess it all up next week with the time change. So we'll see how that carries through as we gather together next Sunday. All right, turn your Bibles to James chapter number 2, please. James chapter number 2. If you're here and you need a Bible this morning, go ahead and lift up your hand, and we'll make sure one of the ushers get a Bible for you. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Please take it home. If you just forgot your Bible today because you had a morning like I did, go ahead and lift up your hand. You can use the Bible, and then you can set it back on the bookcase on your way out today. Somebody else can use it next week. So James chapter number 2 is where we're going to start, and we're going to continue on with our Do You Believe series this morning with the subject, Take Up Your Cross. But before I dive into the message, I want to take just a couple of minutes to thank you all for your prayers. This last weekend, I had the opportunity to speak at a men's retreat for Bay Hills Community Church, which is a free church down in Richmond, El Sobrante area of the Bay Area. And it was down like right next to Mount Hermon. I didn't know there was anything else down there but Mount Hermon, but there was another campground right down there, and I had the privilege to minister to about 40 guys through the weekend. They're still there. I said, I'd love to come, but I need to get back for church on Sunday, and they're still finishing up this morning. And because I make it such a big item of prayer and want people to be partnering with us, I just wanted to share with you just a brief report, because it really was a blessing, and as you prayed for me, and as you prayed for the retreat, and as you prayed for God's Spirit to work,
God answered those prayers. And so I just wanted to share a couple of things that were especially impactful to our time together. One, the very first session that I taught, I made some comments about communion and kind of unpacked, you know, the importance of not forgetting and remembering the sacrifice of the Lord and remembering the things that Jesus had done. And unbeknownst to me, they had planned to participate in communion that very night after the session was over. And so I thought, man, what a great just kind of convergence of God's Spirit working and ministering to their heart, and as He ministered to my heart to prepare. Very, very cool. Our reinforcement. The next day, there were two testimonies on Saturday. The first testimony was from a guy who just a few months back, I think it was about 6 months ago, attempted suicide by jumping off of a four-story building, and he was there standing, playing. You know, he was one of the guys in the band, sharing his testimony about how God saved him from that and saved him from, you know, some addiction issues and things in his life. And it was just like, are you kidding me? I mean, it was just an amazing, amazing testimony, and God just did just amazing things with him. I had the privilege of talking with a guy one-on-one in the afternoon, and as part of my presentation, I was kind of unpacking a little bit of our personal story, Tracy and I, our family story, and, you know, leaving Yuba City and going to New York and coming back, and then just the start of Adventure Church and just the great things, you know, that God has done. And I had a guy that, you know, captured me after and was like, hey, I need to talk. And he was just a guy at a very similar crossroads and really was just needing prayer. And he was like, you know, I'm in my Walmart phase, as I refer to it now, not my wilderness phase, but my Walmart phase, of how God worked in my life and how God was faithful and didn't always understand what was happening, but God works all things together for good to those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. And it was just so our story, our family, and our church, it just really resonated with a lot of the guys and this person in particular. And then last night was ridiculous. It was ridiculous, just the movement of the Spirit of God as we met last night, both in worship and then also the second testimony. And of course, I don't, you know, except for Pastor Dave, of course, you know, I knew Pastor Dave. I knew Joy, who's the worship leader at Bay Hills. But I didn't know anybody else. Even the guy that organized the event and invited me, it was all just via text. You know, I'd never met him until this weekend. And so I didn't know any of the stories, any of the backstories, you know, any of the, you know, the circumstances that brought the guys to the retreat. And a guy, you know, they said, hey, we're gonna hear from this guy, and he came up, and I'm just like, okay, cool, like we're gonna hear another testimony, and that'll kind of lead into the message and whatnot. And we got into, he started unpacking his story, and we were riveted. It was probably about 20, 25 minutes. We were absolutely riveted by this guy's story as he began to share about, and I'm just going to give you the quick, you know, Cliff Notes version, and I'm not going to do it justice, and so I apologize, but basically, this was a guy that had only been a believer for just a few years, and then a couple of years ago, he had twin daughters, one of his twin daughters married someone very controlling, very abusive, very hostile kind of environment, and there were multiple efforts to try to, you know, rescue her out of the situation. And he shared the story about how, you know, he'd kind of locked her away in a trailer and just all this like horrific stuff that had happened, and he comes home with a shotgun and kills her. And staying with her daughter because of the kind of abusive, and they were trying to get her out of there, was his ex-wife, and he killed her. And the other twin daughter was concerned about what was happening, so went home, or went over there, walked into that situation, killed her with grandkids, 7-year-old and 18-month-old in tow, who escaped, praise the Lord, who ran away and was able to find somebody and call 911, and then this guy eventually took his own life. And he's telling this story, and then he just chronicles the, you know, just the anger at God and the bitterness and the drinking and the withdrawing and his own, he rides motorcycle and like, man, if I just veer over here, it'll all be over, all the pain will be gone. And we're all sitting there just like, what? And it's all still very, it was all still very fresh in his mind. It was all still very fresh in his spirit. I mean, he came up to the retreat. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to go. His brother was there. His brother is a part of the church. His brother is part of the men's ministry. And just would encourage him, like, hey, you know, I'd really like you to come. I'll pay your way. Come on up. Be a part of this. His wife that he's currently married to, scared to death for him because he rode his bike down, you know, to the Santa Cruz area, and he's still at that kind of real fragile state and was concerned about, you know, all the things that might, you know, happen. And he just unloaded this tremendous movement of the Spirit of God in his life through the teaching and through the fellowship and through the opportunity that we had together to share. That morning in my morning session, I shared the one illustration that I've shared here in church before about how we don't have much of a clue about grace and how we really can get grace down to our human understanding. And I use that illustration of, you know, if someone, you know, breaks into your home and kills your child. I used that illustration earlier that day. And if you hunt that person down and kill them, that's vengeance. If you get the police involved and they're arrested and tried and incarcerated, that's justice. But if you find that person and you adopt them into your home, you move them into the bedroom of the person that they slayed, that is grace. And that's how God treats us. And I'm telling this story in the morning session, having no idea what's going on in this guy's life. And he then shares that story that night, and he's like, I now understand what grace is. We are blown away. And then Shane, the organizer, the men's ministry leader, you know, I was in the back, and we had a circle of prayer around him. It wasn't this one. It was actually in the service. We had just finished worship. You know, the lights are out. We're all laying hands. You know, guys are just praying spontaneously. And the lights came on. They did another song. And then Shane pulled me aside. He's like, good luck following that, you know. You're on, you know, after that, you know. And so then I had to preach after that, and it was just an amazing. And so I say all that to say this. You know, the Bible says, you know, the Apostle Paul talking to churches, he goes, thank you for all that you've done. He goes, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that abounds to your account. And there's certainly a physical, material aspect of that he's referring to directly, but there's certainly a spiritual element to that as well. And for those of you that prayed, and those of you that joined us in praying for that weekend, that is fruit that's abounding to your account. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you, and what a great reminder that God's Spirit is still moving. God's Spirit is still moving. Don't ever buy into this notion that it's like it's a thing of the past, or it's just, you know, the dry, dusty Bible, dry, dusty pages. It doesn't really have any relevance for us today. Tell that to this guy named Marshall this morning, who was coming down off the mountain, a far, far different man than the one who went up the mountain 48 hours ago. I mean, just a blessing. So thank you all so much for your prayers and for that time to be away. And it was just a great time, and excited about the things that God does and what God's going to continue to do. And that was one, you know, I was excited to get back today because I was like, God's doing some stuff. I can't wait to get back and see what God's going to do with us this morning. And it's already been a wonderful, blessed time together. Let's dive in. James chapter number 2, verse number 26, which will be the verse that, again, we reference each week as we get started going through our time together. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So if you're new to us this morning, we're going through a four-week series called Do You Believe?, which is unpacking some of the truths as we watched the film a couple of weeks ago, and we've got small groups that are meeting, and we're having the opportunity to really answer this question, how do we put our faith into action? It's not just about being told what to do or even why to do it, but how do we do those things? And so we're hoping to offer some things that are real blessing. So putting our faith into action requires four things. Oh, really? I'm sure that I was sure that I changed that. I know that I changed that. Wow. I looked at my computer. Anyway, if you were here last week, you got this joke, so... Wow, I know that I changed that. Maybe I dreamed it. I don't know. Putting our faith in action requires four things: increasing our awareness, and we talked about that last week, taking up our cross, which we'll talk about today, making tough choices, which we'll talk about next week, and then lastly, embracing the gift of grace. And so each week we're going to look at a clip from the film to jumpstart the message, and so the clip we're going to show today is the clip of old Malachi carrying the cross down the road. Let's check it out. If you believe, then what are you going to do about it? There's something incredibly meaningful and powerful about the image of the cross. And I'd like us to turn to Mark chapter number 8 in our Bibles today. Mark chapter number 8. We looked in Mark 8 last week as well. So let's kind of continue down through the rest of the text. Mark 8, verses 34 to 38. It's page 720 if you've got one of those adventure Bibles and not sure where to find that. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. We read these words. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Remarkable imagery, remarkable descriptor of what Jesus talks about as it relates to following him and being a disciple of him. In fact, this would have been a frightening and remarkable thing for Jesus to refer to when talking to people. You know, this week it's Halloween and there's haunted houses, and there's all this kind of scary, you know, stuff. You know, the imagery of the cross was not near anything like it is today in the way that we embrace it, in the way that we talk about it, in the way that we display it. The cross was something to be shunned. The cross was something to not be talked about. And so for Jesus to use this kind of language and this kind of imagery to his audience would have been very, very provocative. The cross is not some lighthearted, ambiguous something like we can often make it. It meant two things simply. It meant death and it meant shame. It meant death and it meant shame. It was a means of execution and also a means of sending a message. The criminal would be nailed to a beam of wood and suffered in agony before death. It was very common for those who would die by crucifixion to not even die by bleeding to death, but by suffocating, because they'd have to pull themselves up on the nails that would be in their feet. And finally, they would give out, and they wouldn't be able to take in the breath that they would need to survive. It was an agonizingly awful way to die and to be put to death. They would be hung naked, and it was a sign of great shame for the person and also for the family of the person. And it's this imagery that Jesus uses. Take up your cross and follow me. And it's a symbol that he uses. It's imagery that he uses before his crucifixion. So, you know, we get it. I mean, we can see some of the end from the beginning in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And so we see, and we have a very sanitized view sometimes of what the cross is really all about. But for those people, it would have been a stark, stark, provocative image. For us today, it's a symbol of hope and assurance and love and sacrifices. They adorn crosses. They adorn our homes. They adorn our bodies. They adorn our churches, our places of worship. This cross is important to me, and it's important to us. It was important for our church to have a cross, have a central place in our worship space. You know, it's amazing. There are a lot of new churches. I'm not being critical, but I'm kind of being critical. We'll put the second service on the internet. Getting away from having crosses, getting away from having that imagery of the cross, even in their own worship space. And I'm so thrilled about the cross that we have made by someone in our own church with his own hands and placed up here in a place of honor in our worship center. But a first century citizen, someone living during the time of Jesus, they would be disgusted by the glorification of the cross. It would be repulsive to them to see crosses adorned in such a way as they are in our world. Think of other forms of execution. I doubt we'd ever wear a necklace, you know, with a guillotine on the end.
right? Or maybe a couple dangling earrings of electric chairs. That would be beautiful, right? That would be a nice look. That'd be a nice image. We would never think of anything like that. And so it is with the cross. The cross was offensive. The cross was shameful. The cross was a picture of defeat and agony and death and shame. And what does Jesus say? Take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Putting our faith into action, that's what this whole series is about. Putting our faith into action requires not just increasing our awareness, but taking up our cross. So let me mention just a couple of quick points and we'll get ready to go today. All right, number one, the cross demands a response. The cross demands a response. A few things about the cross. He calls the crowd to him with his disciples. He says to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. First off, it's voluntary. It's voluntary. It demands, but it won't force. It demands a response, but it will not force a response upon anyone. God gives us a choice. From the very beginning of God's plan, he gave us a free will. God planted Adam and Eve in the garden, and he said, you can eat of anything that you find in this garden, this lush, beautiful, perfect place that I provided for you. There's just one thing you can't do. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't get into the cookie jar. Don't touch the stove when it's hot. I mean, pick your, and just like all of us, and through Adam and through Eve, they took of that forbidden fruit. They made the choice to disobey the perfect will of the Father, and they left that idyllic, perfect place of habitation and were thrust out into a world now cursed with a curse, and we all now bear that both in our body and in our community and in nature. It's voluntary. We have a free choice. I'm asked the question all the time, definitely in the top five questions I've ever been asked in 20 years of ministry, why does God allow evil and suffering? Why does God allow evil and suffering? There's a very simple answer to that question. God gives us a choice. God gives people a free will opportunity, and the opportunity that he gives us to do good and to love and to be obedient and to be compassionate and to be nurturing. The other side of that coin is we're given the opportunity to do evil and to hurt and to maim and to wound. And you cannot have one without the other. God could have chosen to make us robots. God could have chosen for us to just automatically do what he wants us to do and have us on strings. But that's not true love. That's not true worship. And one of the byproducts of allowing us a free will and a free choice is sometimes there are those, many times, there are those who choose the evil. The cross demands a response. It is voluntary. But number two, notice, it is mandatory. All right, so we got to put these together. Don't fall asleep on me, okay? Because it's voluntary, but it's also mandatory. Say, Pastor, how does that work? I don't get it. How can it be both voluntary and mandatory? It's voluntary in the sense that you have the choice whether to take up that cross and follow him. It's mandatory in the sense that if you choose to follow him, you can't not follow him without taking up the cross. You can't do it. It is absolutely an essential part of the process that God has instituted for us to be followers of Jesus Christ. And I think one of the greatest examples of this is what we see in our military, right? They volunteer. They volunteer to serve. They volunteer to join up. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, they volunteer. But once they volunteer, they don't have many choices after that. You know, my son, he's getting ready to deploy. Russ is home. God bless. Logan, Russ, Tammy's son, Russ, Josh, they went to school together, and yours just came home, and ours is getting ready to leave. And praise God that he's home, safe and sound, from his deployment. They don't have a choice, do they? We've got Joel and Chelsea. Are they here today? Are they here this morning? Maybe second service. We're going to be praying. One of the things we're doing next week is we're going to have a prayer of sending for Joel and Chelsea because they're being relocated to Guam. They're not going to be in Yuba City anymore. They're going to Guam. He volunteered. He volunteered to serve. He doesn't have a choice about going to Guam. The orders come in. That's where they're going. They're going to Guam, okay? So it's voluntary, but it's mandatory as well. If you decide you're going to follow Jesus, you must take up your cross. You must take up that symbol, that image of death and shame and offense on your own life, because it identifies you with Jesus and his sacrifice for us. It is voluntary. It is mandatory. Thirdly, it is daily. It is daily. And you can jot down Luke chapter number 9. That's one of the parallel passages of this. And it adds just one simple word. Take up their cross daily and follow me. This is not just a one and done thing. It is a relentless pursuit. It is a relentless pursuit. Every single day we need to take up our cross and follow him. We need to identify with that death and that shame and that offense that the cross brings in a lost and broken world. So we experience victory. We experience defeat. We gather for church. We gather with fellow believers. We sing the songs. We shake the hands. We hug the people. We have coffee and refreshments. We interact. We mingle. And we have a wonderful sense of victory. And then we go out these doors, and we go back home to dysfunction. We go back to work where there's conflict. We go back to, you know, coaching our kids' team, and those parents are just driving you crazy, okay? We get back involved, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, I wish I could just, do you feel this way? I wish we could just kind of bottle up a little bit of what we experience when we're together and just take it with us and just like, oh, I just need a little bit of that. I just need a little bit of that, a little bit of that church. I need a little bit of that fellowship. I need a little bit of that worship, a little bit of that. It's a daily, relentless pursuit. You know, I carry the cross, you know, that we handed out. And this is actually one that we handed out at the movie. I gave my cross, the cross that I've been carrying since January when I first saw the film. I actually gave it to Joshua for his deployment. That was one of the things that I wanted to do for him. And I said, bring this back to me. Bring this back to me. It's very important to me. And I want it to be a reminder to you that we're praying for you and we love you and we honor your service to our nation. And stay close to the Lord. Stay close to Jesus while you're gone and while you're away. But the cross is a daily reminder. It's always in my pocket or maybe in your purse or somewhere. You're just always living in light of the fact that the cross demands a response from you. And I don't have the time this morning, but thinking through in verse 34, he calls the crowd with his disciples. Man, you know, talk about a winnowing effect that Jesus was having. You know, Jesus, you know, he preached the crowd, and he had wonderful things to say to all the people that were there, but he never watered down his message. If you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross. And that requires identifying with death and shame and offense and sacrifice. Are you willing to do that? And the Bible says repeatedly that there were many that walked away. There were many that were discouraged. There were many that just said, you know what, the cost, the price is too high. I can't do it. The cross demands a response. It's voluntary. God's not going to force you. God's not going to force anybody here. You have a choice. But if you do make that choice, it becomes mandatory. And just remember, it's a daily, relentless pursuit. Number two, God, the cross brings eternal perspective. The cross demands a response, and the cross brings eternal perspective. I want to share just a couple of verses with you. You can turn with me if you'd like. The first one is in Philippians chapter number 2. First thing I want you to notice is it challenges our self-interest. It challenges our self-interest. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Okay? It challenges our self-interest and our lives and our culture and our circumstances all scream self-interest. What's best for me? How does this help me? How does this make my life easier? How does this make my life better? Me, me, me. Galaxy revolves around me, okay? And Philippians chapter 2 really challenges that notion. The Bible says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind.
Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Not just death, death on a cross. Meaningful, significant, shameful, impacting sacrifice. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is the example of Christ? The example of Christ is it wasn't about him. He came not to be served, but to serve. And taking up our cross brings an eternal perspective. Number one, it challenges our self-interest. Challenges our self-interest. Secondly, it reminds us of the life to come. It reminds us of the life to come. He talks about gaining the whole world and yet forfeiting his own soul. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at these verses, 10 through 15. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has got to be the foundation of our lives. Nothing else. Not church, not good works, not baptism. It's got to be Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Friends, there is a life to come. I referenced that earlier. There is something more coming. And what will our lives manifest? Will it manifest gold, silver, and precious stones? Will it manifest those things that will last eternally? Or is your life and our life, is it just about today? Is it just about our homes and our cars and our bank accounts and our stuff and our things? God, help us. The Bible says the cross demands and it provides an eternal perspective on things, on life. The Bible says, what if you gain the whole world and lose your own, what good is that? You get 70, 80, 90, maybe even 100 years. But what are we storing? Are we laying up treasures in heaven? The cross brings eternal perspective. When we're taking up our cross, it's reminding us that it's not about us. It's reminding us of the life to come. And lastly, it exposes our allegiance to Jesus. We see that in verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Taking up our cross, it brings an eternal perspective. It exposes our allegiance to Jesus. We did a series a couple years ago called Not a Fan. Some of you remember that series. Jordan, yeah, I was looking for you, man. You're back here. Changed Jordan's life. Several others. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? Where does your allegiance lie? Taking up your cross brings with it an eternal perspective that says, Jesus, I am all in for you. Do with my life what you will. Putting our faith into action requires taking up our cross. It's a daunting thing, no doubt. We think about the magnitude of what Jesus is asking us to do. And it's one of the points, if you're new to us, we do these fall campaigns every fall, every season. We take a special time in the fall months, September, October, November, somewhere in there, to really challenge ourselves. This series is designed to stretch you. This series is designed to really get you thinking. This series is designed to bring you to a place where you might be just a little bit uncomfortable.
That's the whole point. We need that stretching in our lives. We need that pushing in our lives. We need it physically, and we also need it spiritually, and that's what provides this, to stretch our thinking, our hearts, our actions. And sometimes we struggle because we feel the bar is so high, like, Pastor Greg, I can't do it. I'm incapable. I know my own flesh. I know my own sin nature. I know the things that I struggle with. And the bar is all the way up here, and I feel like I'm down here, and I'm just never going to measure up to the standard by which Jesus has set forth. Let me give you an illustration as we close this morning, okay? Right here is a $100 bill. This is not Monopoly money. This is an actual, official $100 bill, okay? And before anybody wonders, like, I wonder if he's going to give that away. I'm not giving that away today, okay? It's just an illustration only, all right? So here's a $100 bill. Who's not excited about getting a $100 bill? Who wouldn't be excited about finding a $100 bill? Who wouldn't be excited about being given a $100 bill? What if I had said, you know, in leading up to the service today, that in someone's bulletin there was going to be a $100 bill? There's not a $100 bill in your bulletin. Don't look. But what if I had said that? Man, you'd have been like, I can't wait to get to church and open my bulletin and see if there's a $100 bill inside. We get really excited about the big, grand spectacle of a $100 bill. This is $100 right here. It's 400 quarters. It's the exact same amount. This will buy you $100 worth of something, and this will buy you $100 worth of something. Life rarely comes to us like this. Life rarely is meted out like this. Life is typically meted out like this, right? I pray with my family before we go to bed. I take my family to church. Even mundane things like I take out the trash without being told. I change the toilet paper roll. That's big stuff in my house. That's at least $20 if I do that, okay? And the point is this, when we take those small daily strides, eventually where are we going to be? At $100. Don't walk out of here discouraged because you don't have a $100 bill in your mind, in your heart, or in your wallet. Don't be discouraged by that. Be challenged to know that every little thing that we do, impacting lives, serving others, supporting our wife, supporting our children, supporting our husband, supporting the church, serving, ministering. Friends, they all make a difference, and they all add up to this. Let me encourage you, put your faith into action this week. Take up your cross and follow him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge. It's such a challenge for all of us, Lord. Every one of us is here at a different place, and it's easy to look at your word. It's easy to look at your expectation and just get discouraged. And Lord, I don't want anybody to leave discouraged. I want everybody to leave today knowing that they can take up their cross and follow you. Lord, may we bear it boldly. May we bear it gladly. May we bear it daily. Lord, reveal to each one here, just even today, Lord, how can I take up my cross as I leave this place today? How can I take up my cross as I go to work tomorrow? How can I take up my cross as I go to school tomorrow? How can I take up my cross as I interact with my family this week? Lord, reveal to us and show us and encourage us today to be a people who not just say we believe, but put that faith into action. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.